We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to the Back Brief, folks. I'm Rod Rodriguez, and this has been a hell of a week, hasn't it? Like, it's been a hell of a, I don't know, hell of a year, hell of a, it's crazy. The Capitol building, COVID is still happening. Lots of us forgot. COVID is still a thing, so it's still killing thousands of people, hundreds of thousands worldwide. Democracy in our country is in question. Although some might argue that, it's freedom fighters versus the establishment. But it's funny, I heard the same argument when I was in Iraq back in 2003, but that's a discussion for another day. Today, my guest is Connecting Vets reporter Abby Bennett. Abby, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Rod.
So what is going on here? We just talked about COVID. You just did a story on Connecting Vets about COVID, mm-hmm. Warp Speed, the VA. Catch us up. Let us, remind us what the hell else is going on other than impeachment, the 25th Amendment, and the president.
Sure. And there is a lot. The news is full to bursting with what is happening, in the Capitol and in the D.C. region. And of course, that is very, very important. But there's lots of other news happening as well and stuff that we should be paying attention to. Chief amongst those is the fact that COVID is surging worse than it ever has been before. And that is reflected at the VA in the network of Veterans Affairs hospitals across the country. The VA is recording its highest levels of active COVID cases across the whole pandemic. I mean, we're seeing 20,000 patients actively sick with the virus. So not just people who have it and test positive, but people who are actively sick. And that is much, much higher than it has been in the past. And it's been creeping up since December. We saw a little bit of a lull, but after the holidays, we've seen sort of an explosion. And that's, at the same time that we're trying to roll out a vaccine, and VA has, done a really, really great job, starting to vaccinate its staff, because VA has hundreds of thousands of staff, including lots and lots of medical staff. So they're definitely prioritizing them and they're getting started on veterans. We saw our first veteran vaccinated back in December, a female World War II veteran. And so they're starting with folks who are most at risk, but recently we did publish a story about Operation Warp Speed. I got a hold of an internal memo at VA that sort of showed that Operation Warp Speed, which is the big sort of public-private partnership in charge of vaccine allotment in the United States government, had denied VA a request for additional doses of the vaccine. And what that means is, every week, VA and other hospitals across the country get shipments of the vaccine, and they get shipments with a number that's determined by Operation Warp Speed. It's based on a lot of factors. It's based on need. It's also based on your capability to handle that much vaccine, because as we know, these early vaccines require really, really intense refrigeration. And they have to be reconstituted, at least the Pfizer vaccine. So you've got to have folks who know how to do that. But what's happening right now is that VA actually has the capability to be handling a lot more vaccine than it's receiving. So the hospitals within the VA system could be vaccinating a lot more people and they could be handling a lot more vaccine, but they're not getting it. And from my understanding and talking with VA staff, that's not because these companies aren't making enough. It's because VA just isn't being given enough of it. And that's through Operation Warp Speed folks. And so what this internal memo said was that, you know, it was an email to other, you know, VA healthcare leaders saying, hey, you know, I know you guys have come up with these great plans to vaccinate and to increase your productivity for vaccination, but Operation Warp Speed denied our request for more vaccines. And they said, you know, we hope to know more about our future allotments, you know, hopefully later this week. But as of, you know, on Monday, they had been denied, you know, a request for more than they had been receiving previously. So VA is still getting vaccine. It's not that they're not getting any. They're just not getting as much as they could be handling. And they've been requesting more and haven't been getting it.
Any idea why Warp Speed would deny a request like this?
That's a really, really tough question. And, you know, I reached out to VA and to the White House, who are partners in Operation Warp Speed. Obviously, it's DOD, it's CDC, it's Health and Human Services. So lots and lots of bigwigs at the top tiers of the federal government are making these decisions. And so it's really hard to say why. I think, you know, right now, Operation Warp Speed did come out this week and say they plan to release all available doses of the vaccine. Earlier on, after the vaccines were approved, the initial sort of strategy was, okay, we'll put out enough for first doses. And since these vaccines require at least two doses, we'll hold back the extra supply we have so that we make sure we have enough second doses for everyone. But right now, I think that that strategy is shifting a little bit. And the goal now is just to vaccinate as many people as possible one time, since Pfizer and Moderna and these companies producing the vaccine have told the government, you know, we feel really confident we can deliver you those second doses. So you don't necessarily have to hold back for fear you won't be able to get people their second round of the vaccine. So the goal now is just to get it out as quickly as possible. And hopefully that means that VA's requests in the future won't be denied, since that sort of shift in strategy has just happened this same week.
Let's shift gears a little bit here. The VA, of course, has been in the spotlight for a hot bit. Everything from sexual harassment allegations now to this COVID thing. And of course, the Capitol building being invaded the way it was. I know Secretary Wilkie has also been brought to the forefront of that controversy as well. But I do want to touch on your recent story about troops in the Capitol. National Guard troops have been ordered to the Capitol to protect it. We have the inauguration coming up, but we also have impeachment hearings that are happening literally right now as we record this. Tell me about the troop movements into D.C.
Sure. You know, we're seeing what seems like really unprecedented levels of National Guard troops moving into the Capitol region, much higher than we saw during the summer. For some of those protests then, you know, initially we were seeing requests for, you know, around 6,500, which quickly bloomed to 15,000. And now it looks like it could increase to 20,000, which is much more than we have in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, troops deployed in those areas, and is actually approaching the number that we have stationed in South Korea right now. So those are pretty, you know, startling numbers. But, you know, I think it goes to show that folks are taking this very seriously after the assault on the Capitol last week. You know, there is evidence, and the FBI has come out with a report about potential threats this week and next week, not just in the Capitol region, but also in capitals in states across the country. And so a lot of states are gearing up and activating their individual forces of guard troops. So we're seeing a lot of movement with National Guard forces being activated to sort of really predominantly their mission are to assist law enforcement and to be that backup. But certainly the ones deployed to the Capitol right now are packing heat. They've got their vests, they've got their riot shields and helmets and things like that. So they are well prepared to take on, you know, certainly the kind of violence that we saw last week.
Speaking of preparation, there was some controversy, at least there was some conversation about the types of weapons that National Guard members would be assigned, everything from lethal to non-lethal. Where do we sit on the current armament that the National Guard is going to be using or at least having access to during this precarious time?
So my understanding of what the Guard troops were equipped with when they head out to the Capital Region were M4 rifles and 9mm Berettas. And there was some back and forth about what they would be carrying. They've also been provided riot shields in some cases, helmets, the Kevlar vests and things like that to keep them safe. But it was decided that they would be carrying lethal weapons and ammunition instead of sort of the non-lethal options that they were carrying during some protests. And even in some of the protests, they were carrying some lethal weaponry as well. So it's been a very careful decision. Every time this has come up, I think that was part of the controversy surrounding what happened last week at the Capitol, was that, for the optics and given what happened during the summer, the decision was made to sort of downplay the involvement of the military when it came to the protests that were expected. And certainly, I think DC leadership and DOD leadership has sort of learned a lesson from what happened on Wednesday, and they're not taking any chances, it seems, with their Guard troops and with the security that they've, that they're responsible for at the Capitol and around DC. I think, this, sort of outfitting shows that they are really, they're really switching up their strategy for sure.
Are there any other stories that might have been overshadowed by the Capitol building, by COVID? The VA is still moving along. There are a lot of issues that they've been trying to resolve. And it's very easy for very important stories, very important issues that affect veterans all over this country to kind of get shot over to the wayside while this more sensational stuff takes the headlines. What are we missing?
That's definitely true. And that's always true anytime anything takes over the news cycle. Certainly what has happened in the Capital Region is very important, and we should be paying attention to it. But, over the past month, we've had some major legislation pass in Congress for veterans and that the president has signed sort of down to the wire, really, as the session of Congress closed and we're going to start a new session. And what that means is that before that session ended at the end of last year, they had to get everything passed, because once that session ends, then all those bills are sort of wiped clean and you have to start all over. And so down to the wire, they did pass some legislation, a lot of stuff really focused on mental health improvements at VA, things to improve women veterans care, to get rid of co-pays for Native veterans at VA, something that's been a really long time coming, some GI Bill improvements. I mean, really big packages of legislation that include lots and lots and lots of bits and pieces that come together for these really, sort of monumental collective changes. Things to help veterans who have been victims of medical malpractice at VA, all of these different pieces of not just VA care, but general, life for veterans and their benefits and their families. And so those things have happened, sort of been pushed into the background by, politics outside of actual legislating. And obviously what has happened in the Capital Region and with the presidency and things like that. For things like that, Connecting Vets is really great. We are still following those stories all along. You can still find those stories and breakdowns of those bills and what they will mean for you and for your family and things like that. So those are really, really important pieces that we try and keep track of, even though we have a lot of other craziness going on in the world.
Abby, thank you so much for explaining this COVID thing, the Capital Region's National Guard troop movements. And of course, there is a lot more going on in the world with VA, with your benefits, with the Department of Defense in general. Folks, let's not forget that business didn't just come to a grinding halt. It is still a work day for the rest of the military, for the rest of the Department of Defense. Abby, where can we find out more about what you're doing and the stories that you're working on?
So my work is always on connectingvets.com, and you can always also find me on Twitter at Abby, A-B-B-I-E-R, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T.
Awesome. And you can follow, folks, you can also find me on Twitter. I'm at Rod Pod Rod. And this is The Back Brief. You can find us on wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, thanks, Abby, so much for covering these wonderful stories. Abby, thank you so much for covering these stories. And you can find more at connectingvets.com.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks. I'll see you guys at the next episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.